Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I have sitting across from me Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett, and we've just been sitting here talking before the show about the levels of surprise on the election results. I figured you and I will talk. We can talk election for a little bit. You are the highest ranking Republican in Wayne County, correct?
Allegedly, yes.
Well, highest ranking elected official. Let's put it
there. You go. Okay.
As Mike sits across from me, I got to tell you, I was asked, Mike, and this is why whenever anybody asks me for football predictions or basketball predictions or predicting sports, or for that matter, now I can add predicting elections. I was asked yesterday what I thought was going to happen, and I said, well, I figure that Donald Trump's probably going to lose by 3% to Hillary Clinton. I figured that in the popular vote, I figured in the Electoral College that she'd beat him 300 to 230 or something like that, and something in that neighborhood. And boy, he ran a lot stronger than I ever expected.
It was quite a victory for that campaign. You looked at past some of these past elections, and
I mean, this is part of your job. You have to pay attention to elections and stuff.
Well,
maybe not quite the national level.
Right. You look at some of these past elections, and you saw even the Obama, Romney, or some of these others where, they've got a 9-point lead going in, or they've got a whatever, 10-point lead going in as far as the polls. And then they win by 2 or 3%.
Yeah.
So when you look at the polls there towards the end where it was tightening up, when you look at like a 4%
lead, toward the end.
Right, towards the end.
Right.
That gave me hope to think, okay, he can do this. And I thought, I even went to bed early last night. I didn't stay up to watch anything, listen. I thought, well, I'll see in the morning. And I had a very positive view on it going in. And sure enough, when I got up this morning, the first thing I saw was a Snapchat from one of my deputies that had stayed up and watched it and sent me a screenshot of the TV, basically declaring that Trump had won. So,
what time did they do that? What time did they declare?
I don't remember what time it was on the picture. It was 2-something, I believe.
I'm kind of like you. I get up maybe a little earlier than you. Not much, though.
I was up at, 4:15 this morning.
Probably. I get up about 10 minutes before you.
Yeah.
So I go to bed about 8:30, 9 o'clock most nights. And by the time when I went to bed, Florida was taking a lot longer for everybody to figure out than what they thought it was going to take.
Right.
And as it was taking that much time and the lead was holding up in Florida, that's when the folks who had the predictors who were all sitting there and had been making their all week long, all for the last 18 months, they were all beginning to think. Chris Wallace was the first guy I heard say it. I think we might be looking at a Trump win here.
Right.
Because all the predictions, everything had said the other way. And I saw that and I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be a long night. I am not staying up for that.
Well, and I think you saw a campaign on the other side that was all but sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That they had won the White House.
That's right.
Very, very confident.
The Democratic side was very confident.
According to the talking heads and all the people that do what they do, I could understand that. But I think it shows that you cannot discount the American voter. You cannot discount rural America.
For stepping up.
Right. And I think it was a large turnout voter-wise.
Was it the biggest upset, you think, numbers-wise, probably since Truman or something like that? I'm not asking you. You're not a historian.
Right.
But you're in the business. You do pay a little bit of attention. There were no – I think everybody at the end saw Obama beating both Kerry as well or both Romney.
Right.
And I think everybody saw Bush beating Kerry in 2004.
Sure.
Maybe, of course, they were so up in the air in 2000, nobody knew anything anyway.
Right. I I think that the media, present company excluded, of course.
Go ahead and include. Although I wasn't making any predictions.
I think the media will call it that, you know, just to seem like cover their own rear ends on it, because
possibly
they have pushed or seem to have pushed that the polls and that sort of confidence on the Democratic side. So I think it is an upset. I do, but I also think it's again. I think a lot of people discounted places like Wayne County.
Well, places like Wayne County, and you mentioned Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
And Michigan went Trump as well, right?
Right.
There are states that went for Trump, and that people just did not expect. West Virginia goes Democrat for the first time since John Kennedy.
Yeah,
for crying out loud, or pardon me, goes Republican
right.
for the first time since Kennedy or before.
Right,
and whenever that was kind of a bellwether, I think
right.
I think to the entire night.
Well, Wisconsin going Republican for the first time since Ronald Reagan in 1984.
Yeah.
That was a huge thing. So I think you just see a shift in my eyes, and this is just my personal humble opinion. I think you saw a move away from what would be called traditional political figures.
Was it a backlash, you think, that got Mark Kirk knocked out? Because Trump had, and I think it's going to bear out as folks study this election, Trump had coattails.
Sure he did.
He had coattails because, I mean, the U.S. Senate folks thought the Republicans were going to lose it.
Right.
And the U.S., the representative, heck, there was talk with the Republicans have a 30-seat advantage.
Right.
And there was talk within the last week that they could lose that.
Right.
So Trump's coattails were pretty strong. And one Republican who wasn't on his coattails certainly was
right.
Mark Kirk. And did that? Do you think that might have been a backlash statewide that got to him?
It may have, because you see in Illinois, especially downstate here, I've looked at some of the election results from last night here in downstate as far as the state Senate and state House races.
Yeah,
and
look at Fowler.
Right. You know, a very entrenched Democratic incumbent in Gary Forby getting beat. The Schimpf winning against Simon.
Oh, I never saw that Schimpf
yeah,
won that.
Schimpf won that. So I think you see a shift in just our state, and especially down here, towards that right side of the equation instead of the left side.
I did not realize that I hadn't looked that closely. So he beat Sheila Simon. She
yes.
has gone from lieutenant governor back to private citizen.
Yes.
Pretty quickly.
Yes. And I think he beat her fairly soundly, from if I remember the numbers correctly.
Wonder if she's going to try to run for mayor of Carbondale again or whatever she...
I don't know. Like I said, it just seems like when you look across the board, it seems like everything went a certain direction. And for Senator Kirk to lose his seat was surprising. And it may have been because of...
That and he got embroiled in he had a miscue probably in the last 2 weeks or so anyway.
Yeah.
But the way he got beat,
right.
It wasn't close.
Right, right.
Because they called that relatively as same time they called Illinois voting for Clinton.
Right.
But that was actually, you know, you look at that number, she didn't get anywhere near what Barack Obama got in Illinois, right?
Right.
It's fascinating. It is fascinating. I'm talking here with Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. Did you see any other surprises around in more local contests? I was kind of surprised how big that the appellate courts went for. I think that was part of the Trump coattails too. Randy Moore winning big,
yeah,
3-2 basically against Joe Beth Weber, and
right.
And Barbaras winning big against Blyer. I figured
right.
Blyer would run better.
Well, I think you see a shift towards that right-leaning mentality here
yeah.
in Southern Illinois, and Justice Moore ran good and ran
yeah.
real well.
Yeah. I've got, like I said, I've got Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. We're going to talk about more local stuff when we return. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back here after these words.
I was running through the summer rain, trying to catch the evening train and kill that old familiar pain, weaving through my tangled brain. But when I tipped my bottle back, I smacked into a cop I didn't see. That policeman said, "Mr. Cool, if you ain't drunk, then you're a fool." I said, "If that's against the law, tell me why I never saw a man locked in that jail of yours who wasn't just as low-down poor as me." Well, that was when someone turned out the lights, and I wound up in jail to spend the night and dream of all the whining, lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds. Well, I woke up next morning feeling like my head was gone and like my thick old tongue was licking something sick and wrong. And I told that man I'd sell my soul, something wet and cold is that old cell. That kindly jailer grinned at me, all eaten up with sympathy, then poured himself another beer and came and whispered in my ear, "If booze was just a dime a bottle, boy, you couldn't even buy the smell." I said I knew there was something I liked about this town, but it takes more than that to bring me down, 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 'cause there's still a lot of wine and lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds. Well, they finally came and told me they wasn't gonna set me free. And
morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My name is Bruce Dickey. I'm joined across the way by Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. You don't have to run for a while yet. You didn't run in this one, right?
No, just 2 years or a year or whatever until you have to start doing it again.
Yeah, so you just love elections, right?
I just love it, yes.
Are you gonna go out and start corralling signs? Or how do the signs come down? Do people usually have do the campaigns usually have their people go out and get signs? The reason I ask is because Mr. Land used to work here, and that was his biggest pet peeve, was the day after the election there were still signs
right
out on the roads and that kind of thing, and he just was livid about that.
Yeah, the party or whoever is responsible for getting those out should go by and take those all up.
Hmm.
Should. And I know there's stragglers here and there, and you see it, you know, every election cycle.
You know what that does, though? That gives the opportunity for hijinks as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I have a couple of signs in my carport that were given to me by relatives and friends. Like, I have a Blagojevich sign for some reason.
Okay.
That wasn't very nice, I thought.
No. Now I'm anxious to see if some of the signs stay up in town that I saw. Only one of them in particular that happened to be on my street. They're on 9th Street. I hope it's gone now.
Well, that's the thing. Like you say, that is the responsibility of each campaign, I would think. All right, Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett, tell me a little bit about the did you get the budget through yet? What's the story on that?
It's getting voted on tomorrow.
Last time you were here, you were just putting the finishing touches on it.
Yeah, it goes through tomorrow, and then we will begin the work on how it's going to go this next year.
And the thing is, with that budget, it's variable, isn't it? Depending on the number of folks that you keep on average incarcerated, right?
Sure. You know, I know this year, had we not had a run of low population this year towards the end, we would have had we would have been in the red.
Oh, really?
In one of the line items. I don't know that we would have been in the red budget totally, but just in one of my line items, I would have been in the red significantly. Which would have been the first time, you know, that we've had that. So I'm just hoping that this year will be the same, that we'll be able to to get through the year and make sure that we're staying, you know, where we need to be.
What's the population right now?
I think it was 15 this morning, I think is what it was.
Is that relatively, that's relatively comfortable, isn't it?
It's not bad.
I mean, you've got the place is built for how many?
34.
Oh, it's built for 34?
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah. It seems like it, but then towards the beginning of the year last year and for a few months, we ran in that 25 to 30 range. And it's just, obviously, it's expensive because you're dealing with the food and the, you know, medical stuff that we have to pay for. So 15 is great budget-wise.
Sure.
And it doesn't really reflect, it's not a reflection of the work that we're doing necessarily, just that's how many we've got a hold of or holding on to or whatever.
And you do keep females in jail here, or you send those down to White County?
No, well, those are, we have separate female cell.
I thought you did.
Yeah.
What is a day like of a prisoner? What is the day? Give me a day in the life of a Wayne County jail prisoner. I've always kind of wondered that. I've never been in jail.
So we want
let me knock wood over and over and over again.
Do we want the radio version?
You tell me whatever you want, feel like you can tell.
I will give you the radio version.
Okay. A day in the life of a Wayne County jail resident.
It's pretty. It's kind of like Groundhog Day.
No kidding.
It's the same thing basically every day.
Okay.
Early in the morning, they get up.
What time am I awakened?
Yes, because there's cleaning to be done and stuff like that in the cells.
Okay.
So they get up. The COs wake them up early, do that, have breakfast, usually around 6 o'clock. So they're up and cleaning cells.
Correctional officers, COs.
Yes, I'm sorry. Correctional officers have them up, eating breakfast, cleaning, different things like that.
Breakfast being?
A lot of times cereal, toast.
Okay.
Juice.
Okay.
That type of thing. You can have, you know, Cheerios.
Can I order grapefruit or
no.
Pancakes?
No, you cannot.
Sausage?
Once in a while, one of the COs will make
biscuit and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's always a good morning for me when I go in and they cook biscuits and gravy.
Okay.
I always enjoy that day.
All right.
But, so then after that goes, a lot of them will go back to bed, take a nap, whatever. Lots of TV watching throughout the day.
Do they each have TVs in their cells, or is there a center space?
Yeah, each cell has its own television.
Okay.
Lunch is usually around the 11:30, somewhere around in there, 11, in between 11 and 12, just depends on what's going on, what the CO has going on that day. After lunch, more naps, more card playing, whatever.
There's not much to do.
No, there's not a lot. When it's really nice...
Today's 60 degrees.
They'll let them go out to the recreational yard outside so they can get some fresh air. They can play basketball or whatever.
Usually they'll send them out there for like an hour at a time,
right,
or something.
Right. And but a lot of them will exercise in the common areas there in the jail, different things. But mostly it's a lot of sedentary time, sitting around talking, I'm sure complaining about us. And
yeah. Complain about the food.
Yeah, probably complaining about the food. Then evening meal is around 5 o'clock-ish. Again, depending on if there's stuff going on, that, you know, if they're booking someone or trying to release somebody, phones go off in the evening and then lights out. It's supposed to be at 10 o'clock, I believe.
Well, they have phone access.
Yes. In each cell, there's a phone that they can use to call out. They can buy phone time from their account, their commissary account.
Okay.
And then they order their own commissary now. We've got a phone system in there where we don't deal with the commissary anymore except to pass it out when it comes in.
So how's that work? There's like a service? Like
yes.
Like I want to say CentOS type of thing or
well,
something?
Well, it is. It's our commissary company is called Stellar Services. And they've got a kiosk in our lobby that you can put money into to put it on their account. And then our phone system is a Combined Public Communications, CPC. And they have joined together to where the phone system can access, with a PIN number, they can access Stellar on Sunday nights to order their commissary. Then commissary comes in on Wednesday and or Thursday.
That is as handy as can be.
It is.
It takes you guys completely out of the equation, doesn't it?
Right. For years, they had a list of what was available.
Yeah.
Then the COs had to go around and collect the
orders. Buy toothbrushes.
Right. They had
razors and stuff.
Right. They had to go and collect all of that stuff and then call it in. So this is much more streamlined. It works out real well. And they can use that money that's on their account either for commissary or phone time. They can buy phone time on that as well.
Is there a per diem or is the money provided by their relatives and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's strictly
whatever they have
from the outside.
Yeah. Somebody, look, I'm going to be in here for 30 days. Mom, why don't you give me a couple hundred dollars or
and
something?
And you'd be surprised the amount of people that come in and put money on books. On a daily basis.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just fascinating. I didn't realize that you guys weren't involved in the process of the commissary anymore. Because is this a service company that specializes?
Yes.
In jails and prisons and
yes.
That kind of thing.
There are lots of different commissary companies. Stellar, I think Stellar was there whenever I took office, and we've been very happy with them. They do a great job. They're a great company.
I got to ask then. What all can I get from my commissary? Can I get you watched if you're like me and you watch too much TV,
right?
Too much movies. Can I get the makings to fix like toilet bowl wine or something like that? Or how's that work?
They've got those recipes in their head. I mean they. We've had a number of times.
I was going to say, have you had
they try to make hooch?
Yeah. Making hooch. Making all their own homemade still or something like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. They'll try and make
Can I get yeast from the commissary?
Oh, it's grape jelly usually is, or something like that. They'll try and use grape jelly or a fruit jelly and try and let it ferment in a plastic bag or something. Ingenious sometimes.
Hey, that's needing a drink pretty bad.
It would be, yes, yes. But they can get anything from socks to underwear, T-shirts.
Toiletries.
Yes. Then ramen noodles, you name it, they can get it. Any kind of sodas, candy bars.
Used whatever. To have, whenever you'd see prisons, the currency of choice was cigarettes.
Right.
Currency of choice now is currency, I guess, right? Or
I would think so, yes. They may trade in sodas or candy bars, but no, I since we don't. They've quit using that place as far as cigarettes a long time ago. I think, I don't remember if it was under Sheriff Joslin or Sheriff McCulley when they quit doing that.
Well, it was whenever they started having the public places
right.
in the state. That's new to me. That's really cool. That must be a lot easier on you and your guys.
And it is. It makes it a lot easier. And there are jails that some of the sheriffs that I've talked to recently are even going to video visitation to where it's like Skype. So
really?
These phone companies are putting these video kiosks in the cells, and you can pay for video visitation. That cuts down on inmate movement when it's visiting time, their time out of the cell. It cuts down on that to where you're not moving people in and out all the time. Plus, families can get that at any time, not just on certain visiting
days. Well, and I'm presuming that there are privacy. I mean, they're on a Skype thing. You have access to that to see exactly or something, right? I mean, it's not like attorney privilege or something if they're Skyping,
right? And those things would all be recorded as well as because we record the visits. Now as soon as you log on, it tells you that this is being recorded and stuff. So it would be the same thing with that.
How much computer use does a typical inmate have?
None here.
None other than that Skype.
We don't have anything like that here. We don't have that kind of technology back there.
Do other jails have that?
I would say your larger jails may. Of course, the state correctional facilities would have something like that, like a learning center.
The educational facilities,
right? But we don't have anything like that.
Well, you're not set up for that type of thing.
No, we're not.
You're set up for more of a. More of a stopgap.
Right, it's not long term.
Yeah.
Right.
You're short term.
Right.
That is fascinating, Mike. I hadn't really thought about that. And that does the line item, you're talking about the line item budgets, the variable costs moving up and down. based on the number of prisons you have. There are a lot of things I don't even think of, the general citizen may not think about,
right,
that get paid for, that have to get paid. How about the medical? If all right, again, hypothetical guy, knock wood. Let's say I'm on a blood pressure medication,
okay,
and I get blood pressure medication daily. Somehow I get framed and I end up in jail.
Right.
Laugh. This is false thing. Is that going to happen? Well, it could happen. I'm on blood pressure medication. How do I get that?
We provide,
you guys administer that?
Right. Right. We have to. The medicine shop is at our place frequently. Delivering meds for the different ones. And that's one of the expenses that we incur that you don't know about. It's hard to gauge from year to year how many people you're going to have through your facility to have serious medical issues or whatever.
And that all goes to the bottom line, doesn't it?
It sure does. The hospital here has been absolutely fantastic with working with us in the last 6 years as far as our costs when we deal with them, whether it be emergency room visits or doctor visits. And they have just been fantastic. I can't say enough good things about Catherine and all the things that she has done for us at the jail and has really helped me to streamline the costs for the jail and the operation of it as far as the medical side of it.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm talking with Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett, learning a lot. And you are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show. We'll be back with more from Sheriff Everett when we return again on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Back after these.
Running and try to beat the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! I spied a little thing and I followed her all night in a funky fine Levi's and her sweater's kinda tight. She had a West Coast strut that was sweet as molasses. But what really knocked me out was the cheap sunglasses. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390. I'm Bruce Dickey, along with Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. We've been talking about all kinds of different things today, and we've got a few other things. I'm going to talk about that too. I'm going to want a scouting report.
Okay.
For those kids here shortly. Mike, we've been talking a little bit about the election. I was a little surprised, not really all that surprised to see. the legalization of recreational use of marijuana in California, but I was kind of surprised to see it in Nevada, which is kind of a red state, has always been. That was one of the surprise ones last night, too.
Right.
I think the Clintons were counting on Nevada.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it, did they? If I recall. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. It was close. Closer than they thought. I never saw it called. But, these are states that have all had medicinal in the past. Do you see Illinois maybe move in that direction, or is it just a matter of time, or what's? I know Florida voted it down.
Right. Massachusetts.
Massachusetts was the
third one that voted it in. I think when you look at those states, Massachusetts and California.
Actually, Arizona voted recreational down. Florida, I think, and put it in for medicinal.
Medicinal.
Yeah.
Those are all traditionally blue states.
Yeah.
For the most part, I realize Nevada kind of is right there on the fence, but and obviously Illinois is, according to politically, it's a blue state.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just parts of it. I think it's a matter of time before they try it here as well. I do. I think that opening the door for this trial for the medicinal that has been extended. And I think that it will they will try to put it in for recreational use and then be able to tax it or whatever.
Nevada did end up going blue.
Yeah, I thought that was the case.
You always hear the differences of opinion from the supporters and the folks who are against it, saying one of them saying it's a gateway drug, the other say it's not.
Right.
And we've been talking about bath salts the last two times you're on the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Most of the times you talk to somebody who's – you talk to folks who have been taking bath salts.
Right. Right?
Because you see them every day. They had – I mean, does one lead to the other?
You know, I'm sure in some cases it has.
Anecdotally, I guess it can. Or?
I'm sure in some cases it has. But I've also known folks that – for my whole life, allegedly, have just been the weekend marijuana user.
Yeah.
And have not done anything but that.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of a tricky question, isn't it?
It is. Because I'm sure, like I said, in some cases it does lead to something else.
Sure.
But I don't think you can make that a blanket statement.
Right.
Because I think there are so many people, obviously California, Colorado,
Washington.
Lots of these states are doing this. And it's not.
The one thing I wonder is when does the state of Illinois probably want the money grab, too?
Oh, that's exactly. You know, the taxation of it will be part of the driving force behind it, in my mind.
Right.
It won't be the legalization for the legalization's sake of it.
Yeah.
It will be because, hey,
Colorado's making $100 million a year or something like that.
We can make money off of this.
Yeah.
And so I think it will happen. I don't know how soon, or any of that stuff. But I do see that probably heading this way, I'd say within the next 5 or 10 years, easy.
Hmm. It just makes you think. We had a news story earlier today, actually late in the broadcast this morning, about a couple of teenagers in White County that have gone missing yesterday afternoon, and you just learned about it today, this morning, just recently. What is the process of getting an Amber Alert going? This happened yesterday, I presume. Is there a matter of time before an Amber Alert is issued, or does one wait until and can you issue an Amber Alert as a sheriff, as a county sheriff? Can you issue something like that, or does that have to go to a statewide organization, or how's that work?
First of all, there has to be some sort of knowledge that there's been an abduction.
Okay.
Then have to be under the age of 16 or have physical mental disability.
Okay.
Is the second thing. Then we must, you have to have some idea if the child is in, grave danger.
Some danger.
Right, right. And then there's enough descriptive information, clothing, the abductor, the vehicle maybe.
See, that was the interesting thing of the one a couple of months ago or a month or two ago when all those things were kind of met.
Right.
In the guy who got caught in West Virginia
right.
with the teenage stepdaughter right. and the child.
Well, and if you don't have enough information, an alert's not going to help you a whole lot.
No.
But you have to have enough information there for people to be looking. The vehicle description, the clothing descriptions, you know, who the abductor may or may not be. All of these things have to go in because why would you have an Amber Alert?
If you don't know anything.
If you don't have enough information, law enforcement's not going to go know who to look for. You can't broadcast that nationwide saying, well, we don't know much, but this is who's missing. Right. And so those are the things that you have to do in advance of making an Amber Alert.
Well, we're all hoping that it turns out well for the White County girls, that's for sure.
Yes.
That's enough of that. You're going to be going to you're going to the volleyball state championship this weekend.
Yes, I am. I'm excited.
Did you know you were going to go until like Saturday?
It was Saturday when I knew that I was going.
give me a little primer on North City volleyball. I haven't seen a play this year. NCOE, you have nieces playing for NCOE.
Yes, I do. I have two nieces, Hope and Hallie Everett. So obviously I'm biased. Obviously.
I bet they got the Crossroads Church bat behind them the whole way.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
It's your brother's boys.
Brother's girls.
Brother's girls. Yep. Sorry.
And as far as the scouting report for Norris City, you've got a senior that's 6'3", and you got a sophomore that's 6 foot or a little over.
Wow.
Feed the beasts.
That's, is that right?
You know, those girls are talented kids. They've got a great team. They've got good girls that hustle, that seem to play well together. They're starting to really gel here towards the end of the season. And in the playoffs, they have really stepped up. I've watched them play a couple of times before the playoffs, and they were good, but I didn't know if they just had enough.
If they could get it put together. See, that's the thing with the girls' volleyball. You have to be able to get it put together because right. they're not only do you have the two girls in front who are hitting the kill, but you've got the other team doing that back to you.
Exactly. Right. and I've watched different teams play them and really have to deal with those two girls up front. When you've got a kid that's that tall, blocking at the net, you know, their game plan changes. They're thinking sure. about that, and it really has changed things. So I'm excited to go up there and watch the girls play, and I'm pulling for North City.
What are the girls' names?
Hope and Hallie.
Hope and Hallie Everett
yep.
will be on the squad. I saw that they're playing at 9 o'clock Friday morning.
Yes, 9 o'clock Friday morning.
How about that? Well, best of luck to you. Any college looks for the girls?
Hope has signed and is playing at Murray State next year.
How about that?
Yeah. So
that's big-time volleyball.
Yeah, she's good. She does a great job. They've put in the time and the effort and have worked hard to get those.
They go to club leagues and all that kind of stuff?
They do. They play this year. They played at H2 out of St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
Hope played on the 16 and under team that was top five nationally. So she's played some. She's been to Utah to tournaments.
So do you have any or have you received any restaurant recommendations for Bloomington and or Normal, Illinois? Do you know anything?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Bloomington a few times, so okay. I'll know where to eat up there.
Well, I was going to say my recommendation was going to be go to Peoria.
Yes. For the short drive, Peoria would be fantastic. I know some great places there, but there are a few good places. I'm sure there are a bunch that I've not discovered yet in Bloomington, but surely Chad and I will.
I suspect the family's going to be out and about looking for some good food this weekend.
Yeah,
huh?
The bishop and I will find some place to eat well.
I called him the CPA. I meant to call him the bishop.
The bishop, that's right.
The bishop. And not only these two girls, he's got another one.
He's got two more girls.
Two more girls coming.
And then a son. So, he's trying to feed the North City pipeline with athletes. he's done his own part for sure. He's got a sixth grader.
Does she play too?
Oh, yes. Yeah, she plays softball and volleyball both. And then there's a fourth grader, I think Hensley's in fourth grade, and then Lucas is just turned three. So,
do Hope and Hallie both play softball?
Hallie did, but she has pretty much stopped playing volleyball to concentrate on
playing softball to concentrate. Well, you know, that's the thing. Yeah. You mentioned that she's 6'3". That's kind of difficult to find a position on a softball field.
Yeah, yeah. They've both pretty much gravitated towards the volleyball down there and seem to love it and are being very successful so far.
When you're that tall trying to swing the bat, it takes a long time to get it around. And on a 40-foot pitch,
yeah,
that's coming in pretty fast to
do that.
You got
to have quick hands.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, I wish you the best of luck for both you and for the girls up there, and hopefully you have a great time, okay?
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks very much for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having me.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show today, and we'll talk to you all again tomorrow. Have a great day.